We're back. Insight. Neil, it's been a while since we've been on air.
Since you've been on the air. We did a show last week with Tony Stahl.
Yeah, but it wasn't as good without me.
No. Okay, not good. At all.
Okay.
I didn't enjoy it at all.
Didn't?
No, I don't like doing it.
So, well, you always do a nice job, and I'm sorry I missed Tony because he's a pretty good dude. So we have in studio, of course, the lovely, effervescent Rocker Bonneville.
Okay, effervescent maybe. Lovely, hey. Dicey.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
I can behold him, and he ain't lovely.
And he ain't lovely, all right.
No, I'm guessing you couldn't behold me either.
That's true.
Couldn't behold all of you.
Yeah. So, and we welcome in the studio from the Fort Recovery Community Foundation, Kathy Kesters and Jerry Kalp.
Hello. Hi, Jack.
Welcome, guys. Tell you what, we're going to talk about the Community Foundation and how it got started, and then the wonderful recent donation from Mr. Shoemaker. Before we do, we want to give Rocker a chance to kind of share a little bit about your stuff, fella.
Stuff.
So, what you going to start with?
Let's do my usual on this day.
Okay.
Oh, I wanted to just start with top 10.
Oh.
Guess what would happen if you said you're going to start with the top 10?
Yeah.
On this day?
Yeah.
So, what is the date?
1929.
No, the date.
No, oh, what is today's date?
Today's the January 15th.
All right. So, January 15th, 1929.
Martin Luther King was born in Atlanta, Georgia, but we celebrate it on the 19th.
Why?
No, I'm not really sure, actually.
Well, I was thinking he was born on the 19th, but we usually get a Monday off, so they put it on. I think it's supposed to be the third Monday or something of January. I don't know exactly how they figure, but so it's a Monday, so it's a long weekend.
Gotcha.
1959.
I was alive then.
I was minus quite a bit there on that one.
Yeah.
Queen Elizabeth II is crowned in Westminster Abbey. I thought it was earlier than that, but apparently it's 1959.
So she's been queen for 60 years. 61 years.
Yep. Every bit of it, apparently.
No kidding.
Yep. Longest of anybody. She beat Queen Victoria.
So can anybody, and Kathy, I know you're up on this
royal stuff.
Yeah, on this royal stuff. So the fact that Prince who?
Harry.
Prince Harry and Meghan have decided to take some time off, like to step away from their royal duties. What does that mean?
They have, I just heard today or yesterday, generally they have 200 events that they are more or less assigned to as part of the royal family. 200 events a year that they're expected to attend and show their face, and some of it they do a lot of things with some, and some they just show their face and give it publicity.
Really?
Yeah, so 200. So basically every other day.
Yeah.
They're somewhere.
So they want to step back, raise a normal family, apparently, and not be tied down with all that.
Well, and what they mostly don't want is all the press that's just all over the place. And they're apparently the British tabloids are not very nice to the royals in general, and they're really not very nice to Meghan Markle. Mm. Any little chink they can find in the armor, they...
I don't imagine this is going to help her cause either.
Well, I would say that it hasn't lessened their publicity up to this point.
Everything I tell you, the only advice I'd give that poor girl is stay away from tunnels.
Okay.
All right. On this day.
Yeah. TV history for you.
Oh, boy.
1981, Hill Street Blues premieres on NBC. That's a good show.
That was a good show.
A little gritty for, 12, 18-year-old, 8-year-old. But Dad always liked it.
What did the the cops say at the end of the meeting every day?
Be safe out there. I know something like that.
Yep. He would say, let's be careful out there.
Yep. Never saw the show.
Never?
Never. Not once.
Me either.
Oh, I watched it all the time.
Oh, yeah. Jerry, what was the name of the football star that played in it?
That I don't
know. Are you talking about a real football star that turned into an actor in there? Oh, I wouldn't have any idea.
I don't remember.
Well, you already missed that trivia question.
Yeah.
Rocker. Make it easier, Rocker.
The only one I think maybe.
He's a good looking guy. Running.
Gastineau?
No. I'll think of it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Good news there.
Let me see if I can. There's a Michael Warren. He looked like he might have been a.
Michael Warren was a. No, he was a basketball player.
Okay.
This was a white guy.
Okay. I'm looking at Ed Marino.
Yeah.
That's
Ed Marinero. Sorry.
Ed Marinero. That's it.
That's what
he is. Oh, he was good looking? Okay.
Well, I thought he was cute.
Well, it wasn't ugly. Okay. I just.
Are you ready for the top 10?
Yes. What, that's the last one? 1981?
That's all I had on that. That's always good as far as, you know.
Okay. Rucker's top 10 is a top 10 what?
Top, this is kind of, you know, for the time, it's pretty timely.
Okay.
Top 10 all-time college basketball programs.
Okay.
Kentucky, that's all you need to know.
How do you determine that? By wins, by longevity?
By who Rucker likes?
History. You know, who's been in the big dance a lot? That's what I went with.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Okay. Number 10.
Number 10, St. John's.
What?
Yeah. They had a pretty good run there for a while in the 80s.
I'm okay with that.
40 years ago.
Well, I don't know who else.
All right, let's see what the top 9 are.
Number 9, Florida.
Nah. They had that little run there for about 10 years.
That's why it was number 9.
I know you. So far, you're 0 for 2.
Yeah, but I don't know who I'd put ahead of them because we don't know who your other
8. Xavier.
Seton Hall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Jerry, are you following this?
I like those Big East schools.
Yeah, he must.
Well, he made his daughter go to one.
That's right.
He insisted.
Now, this one you will know. You will agree with.
No, I won't. I want him higher or lower.
Number 7, Georgetown.
Yeah, they had a good 10-year run.
Okay, so he's almost all Big East up to this point.
But at least they're at the bottom of this list.
I can't help, you know.
Okay, go ahead.
You don't make the history, you just report it.
I'm just here for bleak and giggles.
Well, we might kill the messenger. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
Number 6, another one of those Big East, Villanova.
Yep, they're...
That one's got some legitimacy
last
to it,
30
especially
or 40 years.
Recent.
Yeah, last 30 years, yeah.
All right.
Number 5. Well, this is pretty obvious. Although, I'm sure Ross Wendell will not be happy. Well, he'll be happy that they're number 6 and not ahead of him. Number 5, Duke.
Number 5 is Duke.
Okay. I have to turn my microphone off every time somebody says Duke.
Oh,
so. I have to say that.
Yeah.
Number 4, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're okay.
Mm-hmm. Not crickets on that one?
No, that's
you're okay.
I'm still trying to figure out how you're going to have 3 of them ahead of those two schools. But
number 3.
It's not real hard to have 2 of them.
Yeah.
Indiana.
Yeah, they had a good run for a while, especially when Bobby.
Obviously, not lately.
Yeah, well, they've been decent.
But there's a reason why it's all time, not, you know, like the last 5 years.
Yep. Okay, I'm okay with that. I think they should be a little farther down, but they're okay.
Number 2, Kentucky.
Obviously. Nope, they're number 1.
There's a reason why they're number 2.
Yeah, UCLA had a good team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're number 1.
Yeah, they had a good 10 years. They haven't done anything in the last 30 years. Kentucky's had a a national championship in every decade since the 1940s.
I was just told to bring a top 10 list.
Second total to UCLA.
Nice.
UCLA hasn't had a national championship since John Wooden was
hard as a carp.
Since he was before he was on Social Security.
Can we talk about Sherman Williams paint colors now?
Yes. Is that something you know?
What about Kansas?
I know.
Yeah. Oops.
Kansas, Arizona. There's Michigan State.
I liked your rocker. You did fine.
Yeah.
You had a lot of...
You failed miserably. You know, the fact that you had Seton Hall.
6 through 10 were not great, but I don't know who you would put in there. Maybe you'd throw in the Michigan and some of those, but I don't know who you'd throw in instead of them, so I'm mostly okay with that, except you goofed up on 1 and 2.
Yeah. Well, this is your last night, rocker. Sorry. So, but I tell you what, let's welcome in the studio Jerry and Kathy. Welcome. And we're going to talk about the Fort Recovery Community Foundation. Okay. And we'll just take a minute to like talk about when it started and that development, and then we'll take a break. But so, Jerry, I think you've been there since the inception, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, what year did it start? How?
Well, we had the bicentennial in 1991, and it was very successful. The town really supported it, and it was quite a successful event. We had the pageant, and you may have been in the pageant. We were probably all in the pageant or had something to do with it. So we finished that up, and we basically had made about $100,000. And there was a lot of talk about what to do with it and what should you do with it, not do with it. And I had about 36 things that I was told to do with it. And at that time...
And all of them were probably great ideas, too.
Yeah, I mean, all of them had merit.
Yeah.
But it was all over the board. So we waited... I'd gotten some advice to wait. And a foundation, I really admired the Portland Foundation. And the reason was because in the 80s, Eli Lilly, which is a large corporation there in Indianapolis, a part of their charter is that if they have a great year, they must give so much money to improve the lives of the citizens of Indiana. And what they were doing was putting the money into a foundation. And I think at that time in Indiana, there were 5 community foundations, or single digits anyway. And Eli Lilly at that time had, they had Prozac and Darvon, and they had all of these products that were just really doing well.
Cutting edge stuff for yep. back in the day that
back in the 80s. And so that 1 year, I think they gave Portland millions. I don't remember what the number was, but it was millions. And I always admired, and I think Mr. Barnbringy was a part of that whole creation of that foundation years and years ago. And so it was kind of, they were kind of thought as, I don't know, nobody really thought much of it for them to do that, because it wasn't a thing to do at the time. But anyway, so Portland had their foundation. So they had the vehicle in place that if you wanted to be a real benefactor, you had to have that so it could be tax exempt. So I admired that. And so I always had wanted to do that somehow, but I couldn't get any traction here in town. So anyway, we waited a year. We sent out a brochure then and distributed here in town to ask people if they could improve the town, what would you do? And we had sent one out years earlier, and then we had redone the downtown here with the brick street and things like that. And it worked out really well. We'd gotten some great community participation, no names on it and things like that. And one of their biggest complaints was the way our downtown looked. So that was why we had to try to change that. So when we sent this out, with this one out, then we got feedback, and there were a number of things, a couple of dozen things, But there were three that really rose to the top. Three kept coming up. One was our parks, and nobody took care of our parks. The fences weren't painted or something like that. And so the parks were there. Number two was pay off the swimming pool, still down on the swimming pool that the ambassadors had. And number three was that our gymnasium at the school was dark and dingy. And so the pool had $25,000 or something that they needed paid off. And I talked to Mr. Niekamp at the school. The school decided that they were going to repaint and put new, they completely repainted the ceiling and made it white, dressed up our gym. And I think they put new lights in and things like that. And that cost whatever it was, another $20,000 or something like that. And that left $50,000 kind of hanging around. And so John Hine, our friend, we all know him.
Yep.
He was on the Dark County Foundation. So we got a hold of John Hine. He could get the papers. He could apply for the 501(c)(3) or whatever. And we got in contact with the Jay County Foundation, and they were fantastic. Rich and I worked with them, and they were as gracious and as giving as ever, as much information as possible. And so we got it set up, and it started in 1993, and we had $50,000, and it was all going to go to our earnings. We were going to endow that, meaning it was going to have to stay in the foundation. We were not going to spend any of the principal, but we would take the earnings and use that for the parks. And honest to God, what I wanted to do is I wanted to take $50,000, and I wanted to take the earnings. And I thought if we could buy a lawnmower, that would be awesome, because we could mow that grass. And then we could buy a weed whip. We could whip those weeds off of those fences. Not me in particular, but one of the workers for the town or whatever.
Yep.
Because the town was doing what they could, and we had a park board and things like that. So that was actually what we wanted to do. Mr. Metzger, Norm Metzger, was involved with our initial board. And I said, we'd like to grow it. And he said, I will try to make sure that I go to the Jubilee. Because what we were doing was taking Jubilee money and putting it all into the parks.
Yep.
But if it rained or the Jubilee suffered, then we suffered here as a community as far as our children, things like that. Or the town had to kick in. And the town's got plenty of expenses. And, you know, there's never enough money.
Sure.
So Norb said, we'll make it grow. So he was trying to sequester about 10% of whatever the Jubilee made, and he would throw it back into this fund. And so we started in 1993, and I got a little number here. So since that inception, we've given the Fort Recovery Park Board to run our parks $274,520.
Wow.
So we went a little bit past our...
That's a hell of a lawnmower.
That's a pretty good lawnmower.
That's so, a big herd of goats.
So it's been a great synergistic relationship with the town and the park board and with the foundation and what the Jubilee has kind of been able to do. And so that's how it started in 1993. And who was all on it, Kathy? Do you remember?
I think initially, John Hine, Rich Meiering, Cy Brockman, you, of course, Norb Metzger, Kathleen Himmelgarten was an early member, Carol Kanapke, and I know Irene Stone was on for a number of years. I don't know for sure when she came into the program. And then Steve Franke, of course, was there early on, too. And somebody said Bill Stalker.
Bill Stalker was president for a while. He served a term, I think. So we've had some really caring people and some good leadership. We've been able to combine just town leaders with people who had, you know, financial ideas and things like that. So that's how it started. 1993 is when we started, and we meet twice a year. Now we're meeting about three times a year. Janice Feely has been involved from quite early. Dennis Entrep maybe was doing some of our money early, and then Janice came on board. But Janice is fantastic.
She's unbelievable.
She is.
So, but I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to continue to talk about how it went from, you know, from what it was back in 1993 to, you know, what it is now, what the money is used for. You talked about the parks, but I'm sure there's other things too. So we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 60-cent wings, traditional or boneless, and draft beers for only $1. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut, grilled, or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of two sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
At Cooper Farms, we know we would not be where we are today without the hard work and dedication from our team members for the last 80 years. That's why we partnered with Activate Healthcare and made their health and well-being our top priority. All team members enrolled in the Cooper Farms Health Insurance Plan have access to our three Activate Health Center locations. There are no co-pays, free lab work, and many prescriptions are free. To take advantage of this, as well as other great benefits, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Did you know the most stable skid steer on earth is now even more powerful? The L234 Super Boom Skid Steer Loader from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery offers 90 horsepower with increased hydraulics, breakout force, lift capacity, and comfort. You get the superior visibility, stability, and easy maintenance you expect from New Holland. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today to learn more about the high-performance New Holland L234 Skid Steer Loader.
Blue Jacket Bonanza raffle tickets for the 2020 Win on a Wabash Super Raffle are on sale now at only $50 each. Each ticket gets you a chance to win a 2020 Dodge Challenger Hemi or one of 105 other cash prizes, including a grand prize of $75,000 cash. Each ticket also gets you one entry wristband into the event of the year, the WOW Raffle, to be held on August 28th and 29th at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery. A full list of details on the event and raffle, as well as a list of businesses selling Blue Jacket raffle tickets, can be found on our website, wowraffle.com. Raffle tickets can also be purchased directly through our website. Only 4,000 tickets are being sold for the Blue Jacket Bonanza Raffle, and with a limited number of those tickets remaining, be sure to get yours before they're gone.
We're back. Insight, Jack Stogler, Rocker Bond Villain with Kathy Kesters and Jerry Kalp. You know, it's kind of neat that WOW Raffle commercial was just on, because, you know, we talked about the start of the community foundation and how it started with you know, $50,000, and you look at where it is now. And I'm sure you and those committee members, while you had a vision that it would grow and get bigger, I'm not sure that you had a vision that it would do what it's doing now. You know, and as you think about the guys that are involved in the WOW Raffle, and there's probably other examples of that, the seeds that are being planted in things like that now, you know, Lord only knows what they'll be doing in 2050. You know, it's hard to believe that we're as close to 2050 as we are in 1990. You know,
that's hard to believe.
It really is. It really is. Now, so you talked about, while we were at break, you had mentioned a fund that was, you know, growing, that was used for scholarships. What fund was that, or what donation was that?
It's the Althoff one. Go ahead, Kathy.
Oh.
Do you want to?
Go ahead.
Okay, so we already have a fund in this foundation, and it is, it's the Althoff Fort Recovery Local Education Fund, the Althoff Fund, and it has $740,000 in So that is also used for scholarships at the school.
So when did we get that, and where did it come from? Who's the Althoff? Do we know?
We got that about 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
And she was a Monroe, and her father was the president of the school board.
So it'd be Irvin Monroe, be Lyle Monroe's sister.
Right. Okay. Sister.
So I didn't recognize the last name, but yeah, I definitely
really
know. I think there were two girls, two boys, Lee Monroe and Lyle, and I think there are two girls, and I can't remember their names.
So she and the family had given, and they wanted it to go back to the students here at Fort Recovery.
And they found out about it through, we do an annual mailing. And the reason she found out about the foundation is because we send out a mailing to solicit, well, not necessarily even just to solicit, but to let people know what the foundation is and what it's about and give them an opportunity to use the foundation. So through the alumni mailing, we use that database, the alumni mailing database, and we pick people of a certain age out of that and just do it mass. And so that's how she found out that we had this vehicle in place and was able to donate the money here. So that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
So for those scholarships, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but we have an idea of what we'd like to see someday.
Yeah.
And hopefully not in too far in the near future where we would have a six-figure amount that we could give for scholarships a year.
Wow.
Yearly.
That's incredible. And, you know, so when you think about the fact we graduate between, you know, 60 and 70 kids a year, that's, you know, damn near being able to give every kid a you know, $1,500 scholarship. And I mean, that's incredible when you think about it.
Yes, so. And, you know, a lot of them goes straight into the job market for various reasons. Some of them are just going to go be farmers. I shouldn't say just, but that doesn't, but most of the time when they start on the farm, they've already learned just about everything by the time they're 15. If dad's a farmer, they already know what that entails, or they've gone to TriStar and gotten a marketable skill from TriStar that they can graduate high school, take their little senior trip, and then start in the workplace and be making very decent money. And that's, so there's plenty of those that are good. So that kind of isn't a real reason for anybody to kind of be left behind.
Yeah. So you'd mentioned, you know, a couple of different funds. So, and I know that we started the FR Radio fund in there. So how many different funds are there in that's included in the foundation?
Go ahead.
It's a pretty good amount.
It's a large amount, and I really, to give you an exact number, I don't, unless I stand here and count on this piece of paper, you know.
You don't have to.
Yeah, but I'd say they're probably about 50. I'm going to just guess. That's just a kind of round number. Not all the funds are, every fund has its own purpose, you know, so some purposes are for scholarship purposes and other funds are just like maybe for charitable donation purposes. Some of them are directly established for area churches. You know, they have their own individual funds. FR Radio has its own purpose. There are several funds who are in here, like the Hope Fund is a community fund. It was created by, I think, one of the board members who's anonymous. I don't know which board member did it, but it was created in order to give a vehicle for people to donate and let them give it back to a community member in need. So, you know, maybe, and then the distribution committee takes that money and we give it out to people who have maybe had a hardship. Maybe they've got an illness problem, or maybe, you know, somebody was laid off in the family and, you know, the tires are bad on their car. Those are the kinds of things that we were here and we really want to help with. And there's been a bit of a boost into the Hope Fund recently, and we've got some, you know, funds that we can give out. So it's nice to be able to, I told the board members last night, I said, I need a little bit of help, you know, knowing who would be a good candidate to receive. So if people have an idea of someone in need, they're certainly welcome to call me. And
And I'd be happy to, you know, research and look and make sure that, you know, that the request is valid and the, because of course, right. as yeah. a foundation sure. member, we need to be good stewards of what we give out. Yep. And if they meet that criteria, of course, you know, the foundation is there to help. And there are not just the Hope Fund, but there are other people in the foundation who have funds that want to help other folks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if the Hope Fund is a little low on cash, you know, we can contact some of the other benefactors who have that as a purpose and just call it to their attention. And if they want to do something about it, that's great. If they don't want to do anything, you know, it's no
that's
problem.
Good too. I believe there's also at least... when I was on the board maybe 10 years ago, I think there was a person who had set up a fund to help churches in Haiti, somewhere in the Caribbean,
in Jamaica.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be stuff that's,
yeah.
that's for recovery, but all of that money together, even though that person isn't giving it necessarily to anybody, and they're making the world a better place for one thing, but this whole pile of money just makes everything get bigger. The more yeah. we have, the bigger it gets.
And, sure.
you know, you think, well, you know, if you're going to get 2% or 10% or whatever, it doesn't matter. But the bigger chunk you have, the better percentage rate you can get. So even yeah. though the community technically doesn't get any of that money, it helps because we get a slightly higher interest rate because of that extra money from that and the other 20 funds that are doing other yeah. things. Now
the goal, we as much as we like having the pot, you know, get big, mm-hmm. it's not so much as how big the pot is, it's how much good you're doing with yes. the money that you're giving.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
yeah.
whole point is to do good with what we've got, yeah. not to grow the pot.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, it's sort of like you can't outgive God.
Yes.
You know, when the yeah. more you give, the more you receive. And
your dad told me that a couple of times. He tried it. He said, "I can't do it."
Yeah,
he said,
yeah.
"I tried it."
So this is where we're at. You know, we're yeah. we're seeing people that are giving yeah. here, and, yep. and they're giving it because mm-hmm. you know they feel led and yep. By the Lord to do so, and yeah. because of that,
yeah.
we're reaping the benefits, and yeah. it's a blessing. Yeah.
And some of those are spend down funds,
absolutely,
and some of them are endowments that this stays here. We spend the interest, and
yeah.
and all of those are great. It doesn't matter, but the bigger the pile, the better the interest yeah. rate. But that they can earn, but at the same time, some of those are made to go away.
I want to touch on something that Jerry just kind of got glossed over: the fact that we have the vehicle in place is pivotal.
Oh, yes.
If we didn't have this, yeah. the money wouldn't be coming here. It would be yeah. going other places and doing other yep. things, and our parks are benefiting because we have this vehicle here. So I am so grateful to the foresight that Jerry had, because Jerry was very, very he implemented this thing. He really did. And I'm so grateful for that kind of foresight. And the other people that, you know, spent those first hours and, you know, weeks and months, you know, trying to get this thing under wraps and getting it, you know, snugged up.
Yeah.
John Hine, you know, lots of hours donated, you know, and, you know, in yeah. his profession, because this yeah. is his professional job, you know, to do this kind of stuff as a lawyer. So those were all in-kind donations that, yeah. you know.
And the rest yeah. of us could have spent 50 times as much time and not gotten it done because we don't know what we're doing.
And have we not done yeah. this, that $50,000 or that $100,000, all that $100,000 would be gone, and we'd yeah. still be in the same place that we are. But now yeah. we have a gem that we can brag to for the rest of Mercer County that look what we've got.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. We've had other communities come to us and say, how did you do this and what do you have to yeah. do? And it's a job. And, you know, yeah. it's a big job.
Yeah. And without having the Fort Recovery Community Foundation in place, I don't know what we would have done with our Fort Recovery Radio Christmas fun yeah. stuff. You know, we were thinking, you know, it was just a spur of the moment thing. One week we said, let's see if we can raise the $1,000. The next week we had $17,000 and didn't know what to do with it. I think
yeah.
like the next day or the day after I called Janice, I said, can we put this in the
yeah.
community foundation? Cause we have to do something with
yeah.
it.
So is there any in the bylaws, and I don't even know whether there are any bylaws to a certain extent. Is there any direction as far as X percent of this money has to go towards the parks or causes for children or anything like that?
I don't think so. I don't think there's any percentages that we've detailed that way. It's a pretty broad sentence. Yeah. It basically says that these funds are to be used to enhance the cultural, like sports. You can use it for culture, sports,
arts,
history,
education
for the citizens of Fort Recovery, for a Fort Recovery area. And the area is not defined.
Yep.
So, I mean, we've done some funds and we've given money to, when I look on here, the Burgersville Park Fund. I mean, then there's some money that has filtered through there, but is somebody says, well, are they a part of Fort Recovery? Yeah. I mean, to me, they are. I mean, I go out there to that Burgersville.
Yeah. And a lot of, if they don't live in the town of Burkittsville, the next property out of town is a Fort Recovery address.
So, yeah. And, you know, the crux was that we were trying to enhance the lives of the people of Fort Recovery. So what Kathy says is very true. We're not trying to tote our horns and say, look at the size of the money that we got hidden in a vault. The true thing, if this foundation works, is that we give it back and we give it to enhance our park so it's a wonderful park. Someday there may be a young man pitching in the major leagues.
Yep.
You know, and he may give back big time. We want him to understand that not just hoarding and taking everything for yourself, but actually giving back to a community and having some sort of a legacy is really critical to really feeling like an important person, I think, in this world. And the same could be said for music, for the arts, and for anybody. Mr. Shoemaker, we're going to try to honor his legacy and the fact that he's going to give this start, this spark. You know, you got a massive forest fire starts with a spark.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what Mr. Shoemaker is doing. He really, really, I think, was touched by the kids in this community. He wants to throw that spark out there, and some of them are going to take it, and they will be like, well, you know, I don't know how good I am. I don't know where I can go. But I'm telling you, they have great values.
Yep.
And I find that when I work with the kids that I'm coaching at school, they have fantastic values. And you just got to spark them and then push them out of the nest.
Yeah.
Because we'll be surprised at how great some of them are.
Without a doubt. And I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break. And we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about Mr. Shoemaker. And I think Kathy's got some things she'd like to talk about the funds. So we'll be back right after this.
Clinkturn & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at clinkturnandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Clinkturn & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Vores, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Vores Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Vores Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. And don't forget about their pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274. Here are the basketball games coming up this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians will host New Knoxville. We'll simulcast WPGW's coverage of the varsity game. On Friday, the boys will travel to New Knoxville to take on the Rangers. It will be varsity only, no JV game that night, and the varsity game will start at 6:30. Fort Recovery Radio will be broadcasting that game live. On Saturday, the boys will host Arcanum, and it'll be Athletic Hall of Fame night with Dale Griesinger and Matt Reisner, the new inductees. Girls host New Knoxville tomorrow, boys at New Knoxville on Friday, varsity game only starting at 6:30. Saturday, boys host Arcanum, and it's Hall of Fame night. Get out to all the games this weekend, but if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. During the break, Kathy Kester's wanted to talk about college basketball again. So,
no, I think she wanted to talk about Sherwin-Williams paint colors. Or whatever brand that the hardware store sells.
Yeah, they color match everything. They do a great job up there. True. Good paint.
Now, but you know what? One of the things that we talked about off air was the different funds and how, to a certain extent, the foundation doesn't have as much control over where those funds go. So can you go into some of the detail about that?
The when someone gives to the foundation, they have a purpose in mind. And so we currently in the foundation, I'm going to shock y'all, we have $5,936. Say that. Gary, tell him this number.
Go ahead.
I'm really bad. I didn't have Mr. Shoemaker very long. Okay. $5,936,610.94. There, I said it right.
Wow.
So almost $6 million bucks we have in the foundation. And so obviously we've been blessed beyond measure, but the money that is in there is not like we can go and have a $5 million project here in Fort Recovery. People say, oh, there's $5 million in the foundation. Why aren't they doing something with it? Well, we are, but it has each fund has a certain amount of money in it, and it's all donated in there for the purpose of that donee. So, you know, lots of goods coming from this. And I'm thinking, for instance, you mentioned the gentleman who has Jamaica. Every once in a while, he'll pull out, you know, $10,000 or $15,000 to do a big project down in Jamaica, and I think that's wonderful. You know, those are the kinds of things that we have to be a little bit liquid so that we can, you know,
yes.
So some of the funds are, most of the funds are invested, but we have to have just a tiny bit that's liquid so that those, when somebody comes to us and says, well, I need, you know, X amount of dollars in order to get this, my goal accomplished, so that we can have it to them within about a week or so.
Yeah, and like with our Christmas fund, we don't give it all away at Christmas. There's things that happen throughout the year, and we need to be able to get a hold of, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 6,000 in June if we need to. So yeah, and that's important.
Some of the things too we didn't touch about is an endowed fund is one that you only spend the earnings off of. Because all the money's invested, you only spend the earnings off your endowed fund. Yeah. A donor advised fund that is just a pass-through fund, you can spend all of that, but you're not getting any earnings. We still invest that money, and then what happens is that those investments come forward, and those little bit of the money that we make off of those funds goes to like the parks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have several endowed funds that really are just endowed just plain endowed funds that don't have a specific purpose. You know, they're not donor advised, they're just endowed funds. Mm-hmm. And all the interest off of those is what is where do we generate the park money from. Yes. I have 2018's paper in front of me. We donated almost $60,000 to area people for grants. So we're in right now. I'm getting ready to send out letters for grant applications. Mm-hmm. I send letters out to the same people that have applied to me in the past, to the foundation in the past. And so what will happen is that they have a project and we look at it as a distribution committee and say, yes, this is good and we can fund this amount. Janice Beely, our
wizard.
Yes, wizard. She's absolutely awesome. Treasurer gives me the amount that we can spend. I think last year it was more than $60,000. I think it was closer to 80 that we were able to give out. So this year we don't know what it is. The market's been pretty good to us. Mm-hmm. So it might be 80,000. It might be more. We don't know. But at any rate,
and that's another thing we should talk about is that these funds are invested. You know, obviously we all know that if we just take the money and lay it, bury it under a tree, it doesn't earn any funds or doesn't earn any earnings. So we have a finance committee that's involved that reviews our finances on a regular basis. And so we have to invest as if we're the fiduciary, and we try to use what they call a prudent man investing formula. So we also try to keep up with inflation. So obviously if you have $1,000 today, 50 years from now, that $1,000, as history will show us, doesn't buy as much. So we need to also keep up with inflation. So that's why we need some people to have some financial know-how in here so that we can continue to grow these funds just at about the pace of inflation and then give all the rest away. So that's what Kathy's talking about. So we do have some things invested with the stock market, with mutual funds or bonds and things like that. So we try to get the best return we can under a prudent man investment, you know, category or theory.
So does that prudent man mean leaning toward conservative investments? Is that
we have a formula that other foundations use. Right. And it's the same type of a thing, mm-hmm, that they suggested to us that other foundations have used and had success with. So we're not creating a new wheel.
Yeah.
We're using an old wheel that works.
Mm-hmm. Plus, it protects you from a fiduciary standpoint. Right. It's a proven method that...
Right. So the IRS will have guidelines, too, where you should be at, where you should have your monies, or what they recommend. Because if you are in the stock market, history also shows you that it goes down.
Yeah.
So the amount of money we give away does depend on how those things are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So...
Yep. Can anyone start a fund?
Yes.
Or is there guidelines on that?
No. If you want to start a fund, you can. There's usually a minimum requirement of $10,000 to be endowed. And under that, it can be, and you can work, 5 years in order to get that $10,000. If you want to say it's endowed from the very beginning, but you have to take 10 years to get there, or 5 years to get there, to get to your $10,000. And then anybody can do a donor advised fund. At any amount.
What exactly is that?
Donor advised means that you can, let's say I want to help buy shrubbery for the town. But, you know, I want to make sure that the landscaping in town. So I want to start a fund for that. So, but I'm going to put $100 in this year, and next year I'll put a couple hundred dollars in. And then every so often I see that, you know, they need plants here, the plants there. We take that out of that fund. And so that's the donor advice. I'm telling the foundation, I want to buy new shrubs.
Yep.
That's just a rudimentary kind of an example.
Right. And we go ahead and we do your wishes, and we give that money away.
Yep.
But we make sure that it's
taken care
of.
But since it's going through the foundation, the money that's given either by you or other people is tax exempt.
That's right. It's a tax deduction. That's the advantage.
That's the big thing for this. Otherwise, you probably, if you were able to figure it all out, you would lose 15% to 25% of it in taxes. Plus, it's just a nightmare to try to figure it out to start with. It'd cost you more money to pay the the tax accountant to figure it out than you would.
I want to make sure that we do two things yet. One is we got to squeeze another break in, but then I want to talk about who's the board members now, and then I want to spend some time talking about Mr. Shoemaker.
Okay.
So let's take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, my name is Connor Rammel with Fort Recovery Insurance. For years now, you've heard that Fort Recovery Insurance Agency has something for everyone, and if you need insurance, we do. When you choose Fort Recovery Insurance, we take you inside our fort to find the best plan to protect your home, business, farm, auto, and family from the risks you'll face in today's world. When it's time for a new insurance plan, don't depend on just anyone. Depend on Ohio Mutual and Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call us today at 1-888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4848.
Hello, this is Elizabeth Bentley from Wayne Street Market, and here are some of the great specials we have for you Thursday, January the 16th. We have everything you need for some great family meals. There's beautifully trimmed ribeye steaks for just $6.99 a pound. We also have bone-in pork chops for only $2.99 a pound, and all varieties of shake and bake for $3.49 each. All varieties of best choice instant or sliced potatoes are $1.69 for the 4 to 6 ounce size. All varieties of our best choice 4 to 8 ounce jars of applesauce for $2.85 each, and the 29 ounce can of Veg-All mixed vegetables for $2.85. In our deli, we have Eckert Virginia brand ham for $4.99 a pound, and Big Eye Swiss is just $4.49 a pound. Stop in and check out these and other great prices throughout our store on all your favorite items. Wayne Street Market, where you can always count on great prices and great selection.
There's going to be a ladies' night benefit for Everly Mullenkamp on January 25th at Romer's Catering in St. Henry. Everly is a newborn from Fort Recovery who was born with an incurable fragile skin condition requiring frequent wound care. Tickets are just $25 each and include a grand buffet, a quarter auction, entertainment, and lots more fun. There are no basketball games that day, so get your gang together and head over to Romer's in St. Henry for a great ladies' night benefit for Everly Mullenkamp on Saturday evening, January 25th, with the doors opening at 5 o'clock. The tickets can be purchased from Leslie Mullenkamp or from Romer's at romerscatering.com. A quarter auction, entertainment, lots of fun, plus the grand buffet, what's not to love? And the money goes to a great cause, benefiting the family of Everly Mullenkamp, a local infant with a rare skin disease. Get your tickets now from Leslie Mullenkamp or at romerscatering.com and get in on all the fun Saturday, January 25th. Doors open at 5.
I was jibber jabbering and we almost didn't get back in time to.
I knew, Neil, I had it all under control, bud.
That's so good.
And, you know, so let's make sure that we mention who's currently on the board.
Sure. Our two youngsters are Kelly Meyering and David Schmidt. And the last time we talked about board members, it's good for us to try to. Trying to make sure that we have younger people on board because it takes a long time to learn the ropes on this. It's not like something you can go to, especially since we don't meet every week or every month. It takes a little bit of time. So we have a couple young people that we're grooming, and we're certainly open to more of those. Steve Schmitz, Dan Schmitz, Scott Greasup, Carl Link, Carol Kanapke, Nancy Reinhard, Ted Romer, Chad Guggenbiller, Janice Feely is our treasurer, Greg Lefevre is currently our president, and John Hine is our legal counsel, and Kate Himmelgarn comes. I think she's kind of like just a member at large and does advice. She doesn't have voting privileges any longer, but she's...
She has wisdom.
She has wisdom that we are grateful
that's
for.
Not replaceable, to be real honest.
Yes.
When she moves to Florida someday, I don't
know. Yeah. And then, of course, Jerry and I. And
yeah. So... Jerry, you've been on since the inception.
Yes, and I had to. I think it's 6-year terms, maybe, or something like that. So I came on, and then I filled in for somebody that left or was on the original board, and then I came on. And then I had to step off for about a year or two, and then I could get re-voted on if I wanted to. So, yeah, I want to continue.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate your guys' commitment to it. The people that are on the new board now, it's kind of neat because almost every one of those people are at least a second or third generation of somebody that helped pioneer things 30 or 50 years ago, that type of thing. So, when you talk about Kelly Myring and you talk about David Smith and Steve's, the whole list is just kids of people whose parents made a hell of a difference, and that is pretty cool. And that's what you'd expect in a town like this. So let's talk about Mr. Shoemaker. Okay. So at the basketball game last Saturday, I think his cousin made a presentation, and Mr. Shoemaker at times wasn't a student's favorite teacher. And when you teach algebra and advanced math, there's going to be people that's going to hate you because,
Jerry, am I allowed to tell you what you said to me at the ball game?
It's pretty hard to make geometry or calculus sexy.
Oh, without doubt.
Okay, I'm going to tell on him. Because I can tell on myself worse. Jerry says it's the only D he ever got on his report card. And I said, I got one better. I was the only F I ever got.
Geometry gets you?
No. Algebra 1.
Oh, whoa.
I'm telling you, if you can't put a Sherman Williams color to it, you better not be asking me to do it, because that's just how I roll. But at any rate, he was still he was a good man, and he would do anything for you, but you kind of had to ask. And but he was there for you if you would ask, if you knew how to ask. But and I always remember him. He always had a nice car. And he dressed nice.
Yes.
And he loved, and he was kind of in the room. He was just real flat, kind of flashy. He would spin around on his heels and go up to that chalkboard and just kind of, and all these equations. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's letters and numbers on the same page. Yeah. How do you do this? So for math, me and math, and my family laughs at me because it's a struggle. At any rate.
He didn't coddle, but he was very fair.
Yeah.
And so... I think you appreciated that more after you got out. And, my daughter went to a school in the East. She was fortunate enough to get into MIT, and he wrote her a recommendation letter, and it was wonderful.
Yep.
And it was very impressive. And maybe the reason, she did a lot of work, but it may be the reason that tipped the scale in her favor.
Yep.
So I'll be forever, thankful for that. So we want to honor him and his legacy and make sure that it's remembered for a long, long time.
That's
Did anybody mention
awesome.
Tonight how much it was?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It was $1.5 million. And it's not finished yet. They have to still finish the estate. So we stand to get a little bit more yet. Now, of course, it won't be near as much as that initial, but we are going to be getting some more yet from his estate.
And anybody that was there Saturday night, or I can't remember who posted a video on Facebook, and the crowd literally gasped.
Yeah.
Everybody just was
stunned.
It was
stunned. A surprise.
Everybody kind of knew there was something coming because it had been on Facebook and there's going to be something. I was told or I saw that it was going to be a pretty good amount. So in my head, it's a couple of hundred thousand, which is a pretty good amount.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it was ten times.
Someplace, people were posting it. It kind of went viral in Fort Recovery that one year... the school couldn't afford new math books, and new math books were direly needed. He bought new math books for the entire class. He bought them with his own money.
Ooh, I didn't know that. That's a lot. Teachers do a lot, but yes, that's a lot.
That's awesome. You know,
that's a lot of money.
And it was a lot of money at the time. Another thing that he took a bunch of us in a rickety old bus to Chicago for a math science trip. Do you remember that? Did you go?
I wasn't smart enough to be in my math science club.
Well, it was a club, so I joined, you know.
So you joined, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They had colors in it, I think.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we had a great time, but it came on the heels. It came on the heels of a walkathon. We had a Campus Life Youth for Christ walkathon from Portland to Fort Recovery. So everybody's muscles were sore. Oh, and we all got on that bus the next morning, wee hours in the morning, in this rickety old bus. And he was just flying high because nobody took big trips like that.
Yeah.
For a bunch of little country hicks to get to go to Chicago to see the Math Science and Science and Industry Museum is where we were going. It was a big deal. You went.
I went.
Yeah. And your muscles were sore, weren't they?
Well,
he was an athlete.
I didn't show anybody that
he was an athlete.
He was a mathlete.
But it was a special deal to get to go to Chicago, the big city of Chicago, get to the science museum, math museums, and see those kind of things. I still remember it.
I do too.
Well, you know, and I think as you look back, Mr. Shoemaker realized the things that were important that kids would remember, and that's how he taught. Those are the experiences that he tried to give, you know.
Oh yeah, he was really good.
Yeah.
with the band.
He was a musician. He played guitar.
Yep. Yeah,
and even I hadn't talked to him for years, but when I started coaching, we started having some success. He was mailing me articles out of newspapers and things, just to let me know, and he was bringing him to the school and stuff, just to let me know that he was still tracking Fort Recovery.
Yeah.
Trial Fort Recovery.
He would have made a big difference in this school if he didn't give us a penny for the community foundation, because there's just things, you know, I've heard so many people talk about when they went to college, they were so much more ready for college mathematics than everybody else.
Yeah.
Everybody else. When we were taking the class, we hated him, hated it. And when we got to college, we thought, I know that stuff. Nobody else does. How did that happen?
That never happened to me.
But
because I just never got it. So, but I tell you what, we're going to take one more really quick break. I'm going to come back and kind of wrap things up. We'll be back right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
At Cooper Farms, we're building a culture that makes us more than a workplace. We believe that producing quality products, giving back to our communities, and taking care of our team members are all part of our foundation as a company. We want to see our team members succeed, and that's why we pride ourselves on promoting from within the company. We believe giving our team members all the tools necessary to grow with us is what will keep our tradition moving forward. To join the Cooper Farms family and experience a culture like no other, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials for only $5.25. Starting at 11 Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Tenderloin Basket on Thursdays, and on Friday you can choose from our Soup and Salad Bar or our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger basket. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including a New York strip steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
Fort Recovery Education Association is sponsoring a chili supper on Friday night, January 31st. Serving will be in the high school commons from 4:30 to 6:30 before the boys' basketball game with Marion Local. Tickets will be available at the door for only $6, and kids 5 and under are free. All proceeds benefit the Fort Recovery Education Scholarship Fund. Get to the Marion Local game early on January 31st and enjoy the Fort Recovery Education Association chili supper with all the fixins. Serving from 4:30 to 6:30.
We're back. Insight. With Rucker.
Hey.
And with Jerry and Kathy from the Fort Recovery Foundation. So, you know what? We've learned a lot about the foundation. We've talked about Mr. Shoemaker and his wonderful donation. Is there anything I were missing?
Jerry, you were talking about, and during the break, we get very little direction from Mr. Shoemaker's will about how to proceed. And of course, we want to be good stewards and of it. So we're looking at to get just a little bit more direction, maybe from and a little bit of legal counsel about how to proceed with distributing scholarship money. So we want this to be a legacy that lasts forever for, you know, for his sake, because we think that that would have been in his wishes.
Yes.
Every year on an annual basis, he gave out three $1,000 scholarships. He just paid for those and, you know, it was a pass-through kind of a thing through the foundation. He did that. And so we know that he had a heart to helping multiple kids, not just one kid every year. So we kind of want to make it so that we're trying to read his mind posthumously, and that's a little bit difficult to do. So once again, we are really trying hard to honor what we think that he would want. And it may take us a little bit of time to get that all ironed out because, you know, you have to talk to some people in a legal fashion.
And you have to do the math.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no colors involved.
And I think that's a good point, Kathy. I think we definitely are going to preserve Mr. Shoemaker's legacy. I think he wants to help. The reason he gave it to us in this fashion is he wants to help kids. His cousin told us this was his town. His children were the kids that walked the halls of Fort Recovery High School, and he wants to help them forever. And we're gonna try to preserve that. We took classes with him. We knew him. I knew him, and things like that. And so we knew him. But anybody that wants to share their thoughts about what he would like or who he was and things like that, we'd be happy to listen to them. We're going to get some legal things in place, and then we're going to move forward. I don't know how much we can do by this year, by this graduating class. There's a lot of hoops to jump through yet. Certainly by 2021, we should be set. But our bylaws says that we can only move money, I think, twice a year. That's January 1st and maybe July 1st or something like that. So there are some things that will have to fall into place. And like I say, I'm not sure what we can do by this spring, 2020. But in the years to come, we would like to make a difference with the kids in the high school. That, to me, that's our natural resources. The kids that come out of that high school, they can go, and the successful ones are going to go somewhere, and they can live anywhere they want.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be smart. They're going to have great values, great family values, great business values, great moral values, and they're going to be successful anyway. They're going to be leaders in any community they go to. So we'd love to see them come back to this community to be leaders.
Amen.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's what we're gonna do.
And I tell you what, I think it's important to realize that you, Mr. Shoemaker, didn't say I want this to be spent on math students. You know, he just said Fort Recovery students, you know, and I think, you know, that we saw his passion for math, definitely, but we also saw it for music and sports and in every other activity. So, you know, what a wonderful way to, you know, leave a legacy. And that's something that we can, you know, certainly be very, very grateful. grateful for. Guys, I really enjoyed it. I've learned a lot.
Well, we're really grateful for the opportunity. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jack.
And
you too, Rocker.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And consider this an open door for you. Any other times you'd like to come up and share some new updates and things? You know, the foundation with it being 26 years old, I think there's still a lot of people that don't know the ins and outs of it. So I think that this was good on a number of reasons.
Well,
no, you had.
It's a dynamic. It's dynamic. So it is. It's a living. To me, it's a living, functioning thing. But anyone is welcome to talk to anybody on our board at any time about the foundation. Any good, bad, or otherwise, any ideas or anything, we take them all. And being in business for years and years and years, you know, some of the best ideas I ever got came from a customer who told me how to change something or do something different. Yep. You have to look at all those things, and we will. I mean, I promise you we will. We may not change anything if we determine that for whatever reason we need to continue the way we are. But please feel free to talk to anybody at any time, and we'd all be thankful for that.
Fantastic.
Rocker, next time I come, I want the top 10 Sherman Williams colors on your list, okay? Instead of basketball teams.
Are they all going to be shades of blue?
Well, no. They've got accessible beige and popular gray and silver strand, you know.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I love the fact that there's like 81 shades of white.
My kids gave me one of those color decks for Christmas one year. It's a $10 color deck. Yeah. You can get every color in the rainbow on those things. It's my favorite present of all time.
Is Oh, you're easy to buy for. So I'll tell you what, for Jack Stogler, for Rocker Bond Villain, we'll be back next week.
Well, you said I was fired, so...
Yeah. Just, I'll talk to Neil about it.
You're in.
Okay. So we'll be back next week on Insight. For Jerry and Kathy, Rocker, Jack, we're out.
Stay tuned for Sports Talk with Bubba and Pete.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.